All right, so our first reading for today comes from Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 19. So Genesis 3, starting at verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and for dust and to dust you will return."
Hi everyone, great to see you. Well, I think it's great to see you. I think it's great to see me. Can I suggest, we've been sitting down for a while and it's a long talk on its way, okay? There's the warning. So you want to stand, stretch, move. You might want to turn around and say hi. I was going to say you could shake hands with people around about you, but for hygiene purposes, maybe give them a fist bump. And then, thank you for sitting back down again. We're on page 11 in your books. The outline's there. We will get to Genesis 3, but it won't be for some time yet. So you want to mark it, doggy the page, fold the side of your Bible into it. That will come. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we need you so desperately. We need you always. We need you for life. We need you for breath. We need you for godliness. We need you for forgiveness. And Father, we need you now. Father, we need you to convince us of what is true. Father, we need you to take away our preconceptions. We need you to take away our barriers. Father, please enable us to hear you, to trust you, and because of what we hear today, to love you more. Pray all these things for Jesus' honor and for his glory. Amen. I'm going to start with a reading from a helpful little book called Pure. It's a little bit hard to get these days, but it's a great book on relationship. Here it comes. Once upon a time, a perfect man and a perfect woman met. After a perfect courtship, they had a perfect wedding, and their life was, of course, perfect. At one snowy, a stormy Christmas Eve, this perfect couple were driving their perfect car along a winding road, and they noticed someone at the side of the road in distress. Being a perfect couple, they stopped to help. And there stood Santa Claus, with a huge bundle of toys. Not wanting to disappoint any of the children on the eve of Christmas, the perfect couple loaded Santa and his toys into their vehicle. And soon they were driving along, delivering the toys. Unfortunately, the driving conditions deteriorated, and the perfect couple and Santa Claus all had an accident. Only one of them survived. Who was the survivor? The perfect woman survived. She's the only one who really existed in the first place. Everyone knows there's no Santa Claus and there's no such thing as a perfect man. And then it says, women, skip down to the end of the page. That's the end of the joke. Men, read on. So if there's no perfect man and no Santa Claus, the perfect woman must have been driving. This explains why there was an accident. Yesterday we talked about relationships and the meaning of life, and we said, do you remember, that we were made for love as lovers by a loving God. And yet in real life, you'd have to admit that sometimes that sounds much more like make-believe. Like the story we just read, it seems too good to be true. As one person wrote the last time we did a series like this at university on campus, if we were made for love, why does it hurt us? Why do we experience what one of my university small groups describe when I ask them what they think of when they think of bad relationships? Abusive, here it comes. Manipulative. Draining. Superficial. One-upmanship. Controlling. Comparisons. Dysfunctional. Betrayal. Unfaithful. Destructive. See, our relationships are supposed to be so good. And yet you and I both know that so often they go so bad. And they leave us so sad. And so hurt. And the question we ask today is, why? Why so often are our hearts broken? Well, here's why. Three reasons. First, because we forget our purpose. Or to use the words from yesterday, because we forget what we were made for. We saw yesterday in the words of Kiss, one of Caleb's favourite bands, do you remember? I was made for loving you, baby. And you were made for loving me. Or much better yet, and he came up with it first, in the words of Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's God's beautiful, wonderful plan for you. That's how he says you work best. And yet the problem is so often we forget that plan. We reject that purpose. We allow other things to kind of muscle in and push God and others to the edge of our lives. And maybe it's possessions or popularity or just pleasure. Or maybe it's money or marks or anything else that we allow to come first. I know in my own life, I say relationships are most important. In fact, I want them to be most important. But so often, I allow the stress of achievement. Will this talk be good enough? Or the stress of your approval. Will I be good enough? To get in the way of loving others like I should. And especially, I'm ashamed to say, those closest to me. If I had a dollar for every time I was snappy with my kids or grumpy with my wife because of some silly stress about achievement or approval, I would be a whole lot richer. How about you? What is it that you allow to push God and others to the edge of your life? You know, when push comes to shove and the stress is on, what do you put first? Or to ask it another way, what is it that if God gave it, then you'd be truly blessed? You know, the great modern philosopher named Adele once sang, "Count your blessings to see what you live for." See, I don't know about you, but I think that's genius. And that's a great tool to diagnose your heart. What are you most glad you have? Or what would you most like to have? What do you daydream about? Because if it's not your relationship with God and if it's not your relationship with others, then you're probably doing this. See, God says in Romans chapter 1, they worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. In other words, we choose sex and stuff and status and self instead of God and instead of his will that we love others. And it gets worse. Because not only do we choose sex and stuff and status and self instead of God and instead of others, we actually use God and we use others to get those things. And we in turn are used by others as they seek to do the same. And friends, that's why our hearts are broken. Why? Because first of all, we forget our purpose. Our purpose to love. Because we fail to make love our number one priority, and so do others around us. And second, because we neglect our nature. Or again, to use the language of yesterday, we neglect what we were made as. Yesterday, do you remember, we saw that not only were we made to love, we were made as lovers. Do you remember with the hormones and the chemicals and the sciencey pictures? And with God creating from the beginning, not just a him and not just a her, but a them in community, in relationship. As God told us yesterday, it's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper suitable for him. Like a hammer has hammerness, do you remember? So we have loverness. By God's design, we were made to be interdependent persons. As the Bible will tell us again and again and again, carry each other's burdens. I think it's coming. Be devoted to one another in love. You see, we were made to rely on one another and be relied upon, to love one another and to be loved ourselves. And again, not just romantically, but as families, as friends, in communities, mutually interdependent. And friends, the reason our relationships hurt is because we neglect that fact. See, instead of interdependence, loving one another, we choose either independence on the one hand or overdependence on the other. We choose to kind of keep relationships at a distance on the one hand, or on the other, we try to take what is good and make it our God. And neither works, not as God intended. So let me ask you, is this you? Perhaps first the men in the room. Is this you? Or have you fallen for the Hollywood lie like so many big screen heroes that real men don't feel and real men don't relate and real men don't need anyone? If you're kind of looking for a test case for this, think Batman. Especially, by the way, Lego Batman. See, have you fallen for the lie that that's what it means to be a real man? Because you see, if you have, then that's what it is. It's a lie. And I think deep down you know it. And all of that pretending is just exhausting you and hurting others. So too the other side of the coin. See, if independence is one problem, so too is overdependence. And again, you see it in the movies or the romance novels. Think Jane Austen to Walt Disney, whichever end you're on. It's the peasant princess, you know, sitting in the corner, overlooked, undervalued, underappreciated all day long. She hopes and dreams and sings to herself, "Someday my prince will come, who will make everything always right." And then he does. He comes and it happens and everything's just wonderful in the land of make-believe. But in real life, it's a disaster. Why? Because no human being can ever live up to the fairy tale. We cannot and should not depend on another person or thing to be our everything. They cannot do it. They will let you down. It's simply not how relationships work. Not human relationships anyway. Only God can complete us. And so again, let me ask you, and perhaps especially the ladies this time, is this you? Have you fallen for the Hollywood lie that there's some perfect man or maybe just some perfect friend who will make life perfect? Because you see, that too is not true. And that's a lie that will deeply hurt you. And almost certainly those around about you as well, if you cling to that lie. See, why are our hearts broken? Because we neglect our nature as interdependent lovers. We take the way God has made us and we deny it and we distort it and it hurts. In just a moment, we're going to consider why we do that. But before we do, I want to talk about another way that we deny and distort our nature. I want to talk about gender. It's going to be brief and there's more to say, so please ask questions. But the reason I want to talk about this is because this is an area which in our culture and very soon in many of your schools, you'll be encouraged to do exactly the things we're warning against right now. You'll be encouraged to neglect your nature, in particular in the area of gender and sex and sexuality. Now before I go on, I want to say if you think that anything that I'm about to say relates to you, then please know we love you. God loves you. You're not a lesser person and you're certainly not alone. And if any of the things I'm about to say concern you or if you want to talk more about it, then please speak to one of your leaders, speak to our camp parents, speak to the camp chaplains. But with all that said, please do hear what God says about gender and how different it is to what the world is now telling us. You see, according to the Bible, in the way God made us, our biology, that is our bodies, and our identity, that is our gender, and our attraction, that is who we're attracted to, are all supposed to line up and be connected. As we talked in the talk yesterday, when God designed humanity, he made us male and female. A male with a male body and a male identity who's attracted, if he's attracted, to the opposite sex. And a female with a female body and a female identity who is attracted, if she's attracted, to the opposite sex. And by God's design, you're not supposed to jump from one to the other. And you're not supposed to disconnect what God has connected. You see, by the nature God designed, what we are in our bodies and who we are in our gender are supposed to go together. In fact, even more than that, what I am in my body is supposed to tell me who I am in my gender. In other words, if I have a male body, then I am a male. If I have a female body, then I am a female. And for both, if I'm sexually attracted, it's to be to the other. Okay, our biology, our identity, and our attraction are supposed to all be aligned and connected. Now, Now, because we live in a broken world, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we are born with a confused body, with a body that's not clearly male or female, although that's quite rare. And sometimes we're born with a confused identity. The way we feel doesn't quite match with the body I have. And sometimes we're born with a confused attraction. And I have a number of great Christian friends who feel that way. And friends, I want to say again, if this is you, then please know you are no less human or less valuable or less wonderful. But please also know that by God's good design, each of those are supposed to be connected and aligned, even if that's going to require effort from you, sacrifice from you, and a fight against confusion. And friends, I want to say you can expect that to be hard, especially in a world that is now teaching us again and again something that's very different. You see, according to our world, according to many in our world, while your body is something you're born with, that has nothing to do with who you are or who you should be attracted to. In other words, according to many in our world, our biology, our identity, and our attraction are not supposed to line up and are not supposed to be connected. Born with a male body, who cares? Doesn't matter. You can choose both who you are and who you're attracted to, whether male, female, or other. Born with a female body, same again, doesn't matter. You can choose both who you are, who you're attracted to, male, female, other. But please do hear, that is very different to what the Bible says. And according to the Bible, if you choose the way of the world, if you disconnect and unalign biology, identity, attraction, you will be neglecting the nature God has designed and you will hurt yourself. Now again, if you think any of this relates to you, please know we love you. God loves you. You're not a lesser person. You're not alone. And do talk to someone about it, someone you trust. Why do our relationships hurt? Because we forget our purpose and we neglect our nature. And why on earth do we do those things? Well, ultimately, it's because we reject our God. Or again, to use the words from yesterday, because we reject the one we were made by and like and for. Again, from yesterday, do you remember we said that it's our relationship with God that defines all others? It's our relationship with him that all our other relationships are supposed to orbit around. As preacher John Piper puts it so beautifully, our relationship with God is like the blazing sun at the center of your solar system. Or it's like the ballast at the bottom of your boat, or the foundation that the whole building of your life is built upon. And without him, our relationships just fly apart. The waves overwhelm us. Sooner or later, the building comes crashing down. It's our relationship with God that's supposed to hold all the others together. And yet, as a human race, without exception, we've all turned our backs on this God. We've broken our relationship with him. We've moved him from the center to the edges of our life. And that's why our relationships hurt. And friends, we're not just talking about them out there, whoever the them is for you. We're talking about us in here. Like a series of dominoes, we reject our God and then naturally we neglect our nature, we forget our purpose, we do all this. The old singer Billy Joel once sang, "I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. Go ahead with your own life, leave me alone." You see, that's what humanity has sung to God from the beginning. And that's what we see in Genesis 3, don't we? I hope you've got it near you now. Open up Genesis 3. As the serpent, you remember, approaches Eve and she twists God's words and misquotes God's word and causes Eve to doubt, while Adam stands watching, failing to lead, failing to love. Did you see it there, verse 1, in the words of the serpent? Did God really say? In other words, does God really care? Does he really know what's best and want what's best for you? I bet he doesn't. I bet he's holding out on you. But guess what? You can outsmart him. You can out-God God. That's what the serpent says, rough paraphrase. And how did Adam and Eve respond? Did they kind of just laugh at the snake? Get away from me, you nutcase. Of course he wants what's best. Just look at all he's given us. Do they rebuke the snake? How dare you say that about God? Of course he knows what's best. He's God. Now what do? Like we so often do, they take the bait. They doubt God's wisdom. They doubt God's goodness. They try to be God without God, and everything falls apart. Suddenly, do you see there in verse 7? Jump down to verse 7. Their relationship with one another falls apart. Suddenly now, they're a threat to one another. They can't be naked with one another anymore. Did you see verse 7? The eyes of both of them are opened, and they realize they were naked, and they sewed these kind of pathetic fig leaves together and trying to make coverings for themselves. See, they couldn't be vulnerable with one another anymore. After all, now who's God now? I mean, if Adam's pretending to be God and Eve's pretending to be God, what happens when they meet? Or if I'm pretending to be God and you're pretending to be God, what happens when we meet? This happens. We each try to go first. We each force our agenda. Instead of cooperating, we're now rivals. Instead of friends, we're now enemies. And now, instead of exposing ourselves, now we hide. You know, we had this funny moment in my house quite a while back when my boy Jacob was a bit younger. That's him being a bit younger. And we had these visitors over, and my darling boy came out dressed in just a t-shirt, and I'm talking just a t-shirt, and he stood there in front of our guests, you know, while we're trying to, and he proudly lifted his shirt and said, "Look at my tummy." Of course, nobody was. It was a proud moment. And the reason I tell you that is because I want to assure you I will never do that to you. Why? Partly because I think it's against the law, but mostly because I know what my boy Jacob was yet to learn. What was that? It's that you might laugh. You might take advantage of me. It's not safe for me to be that vulnerable with you anymore. I mean, what if you tease me? Or reject me, or use it against me. No, instead, just like Adam and Eve, what do? I hide. I hold back the real me just in case. I try to pretend to be the you want me to be. And you see, all that happened because of this moment. Because we rejected our God. Now all our relationships come with risk and betrayal and hurt. And actually it gets worse. Why? Because God's punishment for what they did and what we do is to give us over to those broken relationships. You see it most clearly there in Genesis 3, verse 16. Do you see it? Verse 16. To the woman, he said, "I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain, you will give birth to children." Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you. Where desire there, by the way, doesn't mean, you know, oh, he's so cute. But more like, you'll do what I say. Now it's competition, it's rivalry, it's hurt. See, what was supposed to be easy now becomes difficult. What was supposed to be mutual and good now suddenly swings from selfishness on the one hand to possessiveness on the other. From lovelessness on the one hand to obsessiveness on the other. Suddenly now there's power struggles and communication breakdown, and Casey Chambers sings, back in my generation at least, am I not pretty enough? Is my heart too broken? Do I cry too much? Am I too outspoken? Don't I make you laugh? Should I try harder? Why do you see right through me? Friends, I want to say, even if this is the first time you've heard that song, you know exactly what she means. Because like her, you live on this side of Genesis 3. Like her, you followed in the footsteps of Adam and Eve, and now you are trapped outside the garden. And there is nothing you can do about it. No matter how hard you try to make things right again. And you see, that's why our relationships hurt. Because as a humanity, we've done this. We've rejected the one we were made by and like and for. The question is, of course, what can we do? How can we escape this world of heartbreak? Well, we're going to find out much more tomorrow. There is a wonderful to be continued that God has yet to tell. But before we get there, I want to make just three suggestions, and they are A, B, and C. A, admit. Admit your part of the mess we're in. In other words, explore your life and then confess your sins to the God who longs to forgive. Where are you pushing God or others to the edge of your life? Where are you using God and others to chase after some lesser things? Find those things. Admit those things to God. And then B, believe. Friends, believe God that because of our rejection of him, our relationships are going to be messy this side of Jesus' return. As much as the world tries to deny it with its happy, happy, joy, joy, positive, 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 sin is real. People are broken. So you can expect your relationships to be difficult. Be it with friends or family or church or marriage. Now, in the marriage prep my wife and I get to do, in the second of our sessions, this is pretty much all we talk about. With the kind of doughy-eyed bride-to-be and the starry-eyed groom-to-be, our aim is to burst their bubble as best as we can. And to help them believe that even that wonderful relationship is going to be messy and difficult, and so too for us in all our relationships. Now that's not to say that's not to excuse sin either in yourself or in others, but don't be fooled and don't be surprised that you and I still live in a world of broken relationships. Just believe it. And then finally, see, just like yesterday, but for different reasons, commit yourself to working hard in relationships. See, you might be thinking after a talk like this, man, relationships are even harder than I thought. And relationships hurt even more than I thought. I'm out of here. I'm going to some desert island. I'm living on top of a palm tree. I'm giving up on relationships. But please hear again, that is not the solution. There is an infinitely better solution in Jesus, as we'll see tomorrow. And part of accepting that solution will be committing to working hard at your relationships, whether friends or family or church or other. even though it's going to be messy, even though at time to time you will have your heart broken. Even sin is no reason to give up on God's great plan for you. After all, as we'll see tomorrow, in Jesus, God himself has refused to give up. And he's done something wonderful to make us right with him again. And so to borrow the words of the radio show, stay tuned. And for now, let's pray. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so very sorry for the way that we do forget our purpose and neglect our nature. And most of all, and because we reject you, our God. And because of that, Father, we are so thankful for the Lord Jesus. We look forward to hearing more about his forgiveness and what he's done for us tomorrow. And as we do, Father, please do help us admit our sin, believe your word, and commit to loving you and others. I pray all these things, knowing that all that we have is Christ. Amen.